Thank you for your Sabbath, for your time of rest, for your time of pulling aside, for your time of coming to worship you, for time of saying you are worthy. Father, we love you, we thank you, we praise you, we desire for our Kadesh. You come lead us, guide us, direct us, teach us, convict us. May we be changed from glory into glory. Father, may we truly Shema, may we hear and obey, may we have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Yeshua, may we lift you up that you may draw all men into you. May we have wisdom for these days ahead. Amen. Election system should continue this week as we have the runoff in Georgia for the complete seating of the Senate. Last week we had Arizona certified, even though the clerks didn't want to certify it. That is again what happens when you take the state's money, you have to play by the state's rules. Almost like it is written somewhere that the borrower is slave to the lender. Can't do what's right. Scripture says, come out of her, my people. But not to worry. Congress has saved us all because they've staved off the railroad strike. So everything is good. Don't worry that there's no eggnog on the shelf because there's no eggs to be had. Don't worry that some places didn't have turkey for Thanksgiving. Don't worry that chicken has gone up and gas is still $3 a gallon. People spent more money in October and their salaries went up. So inflation is gone. Everything is good again. The economy is recovering. People started hiring this last month for no reason they can figure. We are in Genesis, still going through the story of our forefathers, of the founding of Israel. We have seen, read of how perfect they walked, how they made wise decisions all the time that led them to where they are. Now we read the stories that truly, as the song today says, you know the hearts of men, yet you let them live. Because from the beginning we have all gone astray. We continue now to see how God continues to take our mess ups and helps us despite of it all. We pick up on the story of Joseph being taken down to Egypt, chapter 39. And Joseph had been taken down to Mitzrayim, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard of Mitzrayim, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there, and it came to be that Yah was with Yosef, and he became a prosperous man and was in the house of his master, the Mitzrayim. And his master saw that Yah was with him and that Yah made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his eyes and served him and appointed him over his house and gave into his hand all that he had. Joseph honored God, and God honored Joseph. Potiphar didn't honor God, but Potiphar liked the results of Joseph being honored to the point where it overflowed to Potiphar's house, as everything Joseph touched was blessed. Is that how it is in our society today, that Christians are in high demand because everything we touch is blessed and businesses advertise and make sure they have a high number of Christians on their staff? Or is it almost the opposite today? Is it sad because many know if they hire someone from the church, the attitude will be, well, I'm forgiven, I'm under grace. Instead of do your work as unto the Lord. We need to, again, be walking in obedience so that we are walking in blessing, so that the things we do are blessed, so others can see it. Joseph found favor in his eyes and served him. He poured him over all his house and gave into his hand all that he had. And it came to be, from the time that he appointed him over his house and all that he had, that Yah blessed the Mitzrayim's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of Yah was on all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left in Joseph's hands all that he had, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. And Joseph was handsome in form and handsome in appearance. And after these events, it came to be that his master's wife lifted up her eyes to Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has given into my hand all that he has. No one is greater in this house than I. And he has not withheld whatever from me but you, because you are his wife. How shall I do this great evil and sin against Elohim?" Would not he have sinned against Potiphar as well? Did he not say his master had put everything in he had, but yet he knew where his source was? His source wasn't Potiphar, his source was Yah. Do we say no because of other reasons, or do we stand and go, "No, because I will not sin against my God"? It came to be as she spoke to Joseph day by day that he did not listen to her, to lie with her, to be with her, And it came to be on a certain day when Joseph went to the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And it came to be when she saw that he had fled his garment, had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought in to us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And it came to be when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. And she kept his garment with her until his master came home. She spoke to him these same words, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to me to mock me. So it came to be, as I lifted my voice and cried out, that she left his garment with me and fled outside. And it came to be, when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me according to these words, that his displeasure burned. Where was the favor? He believed the lie because, again, his favor was not toward Joseph. His favor was only toward the blessing, the stuff, the ease that brought him, the increase that brought him. And you see, she not only told the lie, who did she first tell the lie to?
The servants, the other workers.
And she didn't just say it was Joseph. She said, oh, look, my husband brought him in to mock us. And look what he did. She planted enmity, jealousy. Did the men know whether Joseph had done that or not?
They should have.
It's a good chance they knew he wasn't like that, and that they knew she was like that. Why did they go along?
She was a boss.
She was a boss, and it was a chance for
promotion.
Promotion.
Somebody was going to
see Joseph be brought down.
Somebody was going to get his position.
Also, what happens when somebody gets in charge who makes things be blessed? What do they usually do? Yeah, make everyone else work, do what they're supposed to, do their job, make the household run easier. There's a reason the house wasn't blessed before Joseph came there. Why was that? Things weren't doing that well.
They were saying they weren't being done right.
The wife was obviously in control. She didn't have her husband's best interest in mind. Again, this will be the thanks you will get from the world for trying to better them. What thanks did Messiah get?
They crucified him.
They crucified him. What did he tell us?
World of
same way they treated me, they're going to treat you. Don't be shocked when you see people doing what is not in their best interest. They've done that for a long time. What is antithetical to the things they are saying, what they claim to want, but the things they do are different. Almost like they had a reprobate mind. Then Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the sovereign's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. But Yah was with Joseph and extended a loving commitment to him, and excuse me, he gave him favor in the eyes of the prison warden, and the prison warden gave him into the hands of Joseph. All the prisoners who were in the prison and whatsoever was done there was his doing. The prison warden did not look into any point that was under Joseph's hand, because Yah was with him, and whatever he did, Yah made it prosper. Do we see a pattern? You see that it does not matter where you are. It matters whose you are. It matters what you do. And that what may seem like a demotion, a problem, he seemed to have had it pretty good in Potiphar's house. Now he's in jail. But we know the rest of the story. What happens from him being in jail? He comes in contact with someone who's going to be before the king, before Pharaoh. Isaiah 52. We're going to read 1 through 15. Awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion, put on your garments of splendor, O Jerusalem, the set-apart city, for no more do the uncircumcised and the unclean come into you. Shake yourself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem, loose yourselves from the bonds of your neck, O captive daughters of Zion, for thus says Yah, you have been sold for naught, and you are redeemed and not with silver. For thus says the master Yah, at first my people went down into Mitzrayim to sojourn there, and Asher oppressed them without cause. And now what have I here, declares Yah, that my people are taken away for naught? Those who rule over them make them well, declares Yah, and my name is despised all day continually. Therefore my people shall know my name in that day, for I am the one who is speaking. See, it is I. How pleasant among the nations are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings good news, who proclaims deliverance, who says to Zion, your Elohim, raise the voice of your watchmen. They shall lift up their voices together. They shall shout for joy, because eye to eye, they see the return of Yah to Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem. For Yah shall comfort his people. He shall redeem Jerusalem. Yah shall lay bare his set-apart arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the deliverance of your Elohim. Turn aside, turn aside. Come out from there. Touch not the unclean. Come out of her midst. Be clean, you who bear the vessels of Yah. You shall not come out in haste nor go in flight, for Yah is going before you, and your Elohim, and the Elohim of Israel is your rear guard. See, my servant shall work wisely. He shall be exalted and lifted up and very high. As many were astonished at you, so the disfigurement beyond any man's and his forms, beyond the son of men, he shall likewise startle many nations. Sovereigns shut their mouths at him, for what had not been recounted to them, they shall see. And what they had not heard, they shall understand. Who are these last verses talking about? And who was disfigured beyond any man? Messiah was, when he was beat, when his beard was ripped out, when he was lashed, when he was staked. And when is this time talking about?
View on Messiah's earthly embodiment.
Yeah, when the world begins to see Messiah, recognize him for who they are, for who he was, when they're startled by him. Obviously, the end of days, the last time, perhaps the great harvest. But during this time, the end of days, what did it say of Jerusalem?
That nobody unclean.
No more uncircumcised and unclean coming to you. Verse 11, come out from there, touch not the unclean. Come out of her midst, be clean. What did the uncircumcised represent?
The nations.
Yeah, those who did not follow Torah. What did the circumcision represent?
Covenant.
The last step. If a man followed all the other Torah but was uncircumcised, he could not partake of Pesach. But if his heart was such that he would take his circumcision, all the males in his household, then he was considered as a
Native born,
no different. You see, in these end days, even after Messiah was prophesied, we would be one flesh, one body. He would be one Lord, one Messiah. We were to circumcise our hearts. If I circumcise my heart, what am I going to want to do? Follow the word. Follow the law. If you love me, keep my commandments. Perhaps then we'll see more Josephs rising up, more whom everything they do are blessed. Yes.
Oh, go to John 6:44. I think that's it.
John 6:44. No one is able to come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I shall raise him up in the last day.
I understand it, but when you heard it, I do and I don't. Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, again, I think we have the same chapter, John, same who wrote, the same Messiah who said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will. Later, Paul tells us, how can they hear? How can they believe unless they hear? How can they hear unless one is sent? The Spirit draws. I don't think it is my words. I may be one that plants. I may be one that waters. I may be one that harvests. But it's the Spirit that draws. And on all of them, Messiah draws, but I still think we choose. It's the same as last week we were reading, Pharaoh, God hardened his heart. But at other places we see it says Pharaoh hardened his heart. Well, which was it? Does God harden the heart or did Pharaoh harden his heart? Or is it both? It's both because the scripture says it's both. But one is nothing happens except God does it because he is God. But yet he has given us inside of time a choice. Outside of time, he already knows the end from the beginning. How does that work? Now, that one I can't tell you. How do I have a choice when it's already chosen? But I believe it's the same here that Yeshua is saying, everybody who comes, he's drawn, and unless he draws, they can't come. But at the same time, he says, whosoever will. But in other places, it says that they were ordained to destruction from the beginning. Well, that doesn't sound like much of a choice. But yet, even Joshua said, choose you this day. You will find through scripture, literally from Genesis through Revelation, the same concept where over and over God says, I did, and then he will turn around and say, and those who chose, he'll say, I sent the enemy against you because you sinned. And then he will say, and the enemy that chose to rise up against you, I will. Which one is it? I believe we're looking from an eternal perspective and a man perspective. I cannot fully understand how it's both, but I believe it is because he has spoken.
Does that not come back to he gives us a choice? When he draws us, we can accept and follow and keep his word, or if you kick it aside, say, I'm going to do as I will, please.
I think main point here he was trying to get to the Pharisees isn't nobody can come unless it's I've drawn them, but everybody who does come is because I drew them. They were saying if you do this, if you keep all the Torah, if you've done all the commandments, if you put on the pretense, if you for show make it seem like if you'll send a trumpet before you now, then. And Jesus, I think, is letting them know it's because I've drawn you to begin with. The scriptures tell us the goodness of God leads us to repentance. That help?
Oh, yeah.
Acts.
In other words, we're not saved by works like the Pharisees tried to preach.
They're not saved by works, but if you're saved, you'll have works.
That's right. You
can't be saved. Because James said, faith without works is dead.
You can't separate the two, really.
It's very difficult. It is truly Shema, hear and obey. Not just hear, not just obey. Acts 7. They started in verse 9, but let's back on up to verse 2. Let's get into it. He said, men, brothers, and father, listen, the Elohim of esteem appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Aram Naharaim, before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, come out of your land and from your relatives and come here into a land that I shall show you. Now, did God choose him or did he choose God?
Both.
Acts 7.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. He said, come out, and what did Abraham do?
He came out.
He came out. Was Abraham the only one he said, come out to?
There had been others before.
And some came, some didn't.
We don't know that there weren't others even then. Abraham was just one of the stories we have recorded.
Then he came out of the land of the Kedim and dwelt in Haran, and from there, after the death of his father, he removed him to this land in which you now dwell, and he gave him no inheritance in it, not a foot of it, but he promised to give it to him for possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. Now he spoke in this way, that his seed would be sojourning in a foreign land, and that they would be enslaved and mistreated 400 years, and the nation to whom they shall be enslaved, I shall judge. There again we have it. He promised they'd go in, he promised they'd be enslaved, then he promised the very nation that did his will by enslaving them, he would judge for enslaving them. After that, they shall come out and serve me in this place. He gave them the covenant of circumcision. So he brought forth Yitzhak and circumcised him on the eighth day. And Yitzhak brought forth Yaakov, and Yaakov brought forth the 12 ancestors. The ancestors, becoming jealous, sold Yosef into Mitzrayim, but Elohim was with him and delivered him out of all of his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom before Pharaoh, sovereign of Mitzrayim. And he appointed him governor over Mitzrayim and all his house. Then a scarcity of food and great distress came over all the land of Mitzrayim and Canaan, and our fathers found no food. But Yaakov heard that there was grain in Mitzrayim, and he sent out the fathers the first time, and at the second time Yosef was made known to his brothers, and Yosef's race became known to Pharaoh, and Yosef sent and called his father and Yaakov and all his relatives, 75 people. Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim and died, he and our fathers, and they were brought over to Shechem and laid in the tomb that Abraham bought for a price of silver from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. But as the time of the promise drew near, which Elohim had swore to Abraham, the people increased and multiplied in Mitzrayim. Till another sovereign arose who did not know Yosef, having dealt treacherously with our race. This one mistreated our fathers, making them expose their babies so they should not live. At that time Moshe was born, and he was well pleasing to Elohim, and he was reared 3 months in the house of his father, but when he was exposed, the daughter of Pharaoh took him up and reared him as her own son. Moshe was instructed in all the wisdom of the Mitzrites and was mighty in works and words and works. And when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Israel, and seeing one of them being wronged, he defended and revenged him who was oppressed, smiting the Mitzrayim, and he thought that his brothers would have understood that Elohim would give deliverance to them by his hand. But they did not understand. Next day he appeared to two of them as they were fighting and urged them to peace, saying, men, you are brothers, why do you wrong one another? But he who was wronging his neighbor pushed him away, saying, who made you a judge and a ruler and a judge over us? Do you wish to kill me as you killed the Mitzrayim yesterday? At this saying, Moshe fled and became a sojourner in the land of Midian, where he fathered two sons. And after 40 years was completed, a messenger of Yah appeared to him in the flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. And Moshe, seeing it, marveled at the sight. Coming here to look, the voice of Yah came to him, saying, I'm the Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, and the Elohim of Yitzhak, the Elohim of Yaakov. And Moshe trembled and did not have the courage to look. But Yah said to him, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is set apart. I have certainly seen the evil treatment of my people who are in Mitzrayim, and I have heard their groaning, and have come down to deliver them. And now come, let me send you to Mitzrayim. Then Moshe, whom they had refused, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge? This one Elohim sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the messenger who appeared to him in the bush. This one led them out after he had done wonders and signs in the land of Mitzrayim and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. This is the Moshe who said to the children of Israel, Yah, your Elohim, shall raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers, him you shall hear. This is he that was in the assembly in the wilderness and with the messenger who spoke to him on Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the living words to give to us and to whom our fathers would not become obedient but thrust away. And in their hearts they turned back to Mitzrayim, saying to Aaron, make us mighty ones to go before us. For this Moshe who led us out of the land of Mitzrayim, we do not know what has become of him. They made a calf in those days and brought an offering to the idol and were rejoicing in the works of their own hands. So Elohim turned and gave them up to worship the host of heavens. As it had been written in the book of the prophets, did you bring slaughtered beasts and offerings unto me during 40 years in the wilderness of the house of Israel? You took up the tent of Molech and the star of your mighty one, Keel, and the images which you made bow down before. Therefore, I shall remove you beyond the Babel. The tent of wilderness was with our fathers in the wilderness, as he appointed, instructed Moshe to make it according to the pattern which was seen, which our fathers, having received it in turn, also brought with Yahushua into the land possessed by the nations, whom Elohim drove out before the face of our fathers until the day of David, who found favor before Elohim and asking to find a dwelling place for the Elohim of Yaakov, but Shlomo built him a house. However, the Most High does not dwell in dwellings made with hands, as the prophet says, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house shall you build for me, says Yah, or what is the place of my rest? Has not my hand made all these? You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears. You always resist the set-apart spirit, as your fathers did, you also do. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killing those who before the coming of the righteous one, of whom you have now become the betrayers and murderers, who received the Torah as it was obtained by messengers, but did not watch over it. Hearing this, they were cut to the heart and gnashed the teeth at him, but he, being filled with the set-apart spirit, looked steadily into the heavens and saw the esteem of Elohim and Yeshua standing at the right hand of Elohim. Here we have the story. Stephen showed them how from the time of Abraham, and again the history, we've read it, they knew it. How because of Abraham, Ishmael became. How because Israel knew, Isaac knew what Esau had done and the kind of man he was, but wanted to bless him anyway. Yaakov and his sons. The story of Joseph, of Moses, and on down that even then, they had a long history of not following Torah. All the story of the kings, And that even now, as Messiah said to them, by your vain traditions of men, you make the word of God, you make the Torah of none effect. Did they deny it?
No.
No. It cut them to their hearts. But they did the same, choosing their traditions as the church does today, choosing its traditions. But when you ask them, why do you not do what Jesus did? Why do you do the things he doesn't do? They have no answer. Do we have an answer? Do you know why you do the things you do now, and why you don't do the things you do? Are we standing to show ourselves approved? Are we following a tradition? Are we beginning to follow the word, the Torah, the instructions? As Brother West said, we're not saved by following Torah. Salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. It's because of Messiah, his blood that he shed for the remission of sin. But what a great price I've been bought with. What a great price he has paid for me. Is he not worth me obeying? Is he not worth what I have left? Yet it's not even a question of is he worth it, because when I follow him, it's actually what is best. When I obey, Yah has promised that I will be choosing life, blessings, obedience. And that not only will it go well for me here, but that in the next age I can rule and reign with him. Rather good in return on your investment. If you're faithful with a little, he'll make you ruler over much. Don't be deceived. Be wary of the time and the pretty lights and the pretty things that really mean don't trade away what happens every single week. Won't you turn it off? Don't trade away what he has purchased. Because of what the world, family, tradition, society, the news, the neighbors, this age, as to offer. Scripture says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? Father, thank you that you have given us your word, that your word is true, that it is yes and amen, that it is truly a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. May I only walk where it shines. May I learn, may I hear, may I study so that I may hide thy word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Not just because you're worthy, not just because it would be beneficial for me, but that truly, Messiah, you'd be lifted up. That others may see our good works and glorify you, Father, which you are in heaven. Truly, we would pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Shem Kabbalah, Mahu.